welcome to another Pet Radio podcast on PetRadioShow.com. My name is Robert Paul Hudson, your humble host. Today I'm speaking with a young woman in the United Kingdom who is developing a multi-level network community connecting shelters, rescuers, pullers, foster care, urgent rescue, and adopters, all under one umbrella. And it's called the Pet Pardon. And she's going to tell us all about it and her amazing level of commitment and dedication, and what her goals are with this is just mind-boggling. But first, let me fill you in on what's going on here on Pet Radio. We just wrapped up our Winter Dog at Play photo contest entries and nailed down 7 finalists that are now up for vote, where you pick the winner. And we'll begin taking entries for our Cuddly Kitty photo contest later this weekend. So please check it out. And please take a look at our sponsors on our website, PetRadioShow.com. They make this website possible, so please show them your support. We're going to get started right now. Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Cheryl Joyce, who is joining us today to talk about a new app that she's developing called Pet Pardon. And she'll share with us the story behind it and what inspired her to do this and what she's trying to accomplish. Welcome to the show, Cheryl. I am always happy to speak to an innovative person who's developing new ideas to make us and our pets more comfortable and our bond more closer. So welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Robert. I'm very happy to be on here.
What is Pet Pardon? Well, and where is it? It's all completely in development right now, correct? I mean, you don't really have anything other than an idea. But so share with us what the idea is.
That's great. I'll do that. It's been a couple years in the making, and I finally decided to take the leap. I founded Pet Pardon basically to help raise awareness of the number of cats and dogs at high-kill shelters around the world, basically, so specifically in the U.S., U.K., and Canada. And it's quite sad that many perfectly healthy pets are being euthanized every day. And using the Pet Pardon app, animal lovers will be able to share the animals basically on death row with their networks. And the idea to be basically to save as many as possible from imminent death. And as you mentioned, to be clear, I'm in the early stages and I'm self-funding an awareness campaign for the moment. So that's going on February. And in March, I'm going to be raising money to develop the app and basically a minimal viable product. I've been reaching out to my friends and family and my networks on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and people are really liking the idea and think that it's something that's needed. So I'm hopefully fulfilling something that I think is necessary to bring awareness to what's going on and basically, again, to save as many as we can using the app to share.
Certainly. Well, give me a clear idea of what exactly your app will do and what you hope it'll do. Is it simply a tool for sharing, what do they call them, urgent red care, as you said, dogs or cats on death row? Is it just sharing the pictures and where they are to other people out there in the net, where does it go?
So basically, essentially what's happening every day is people are, I came across the what was going on basically in the U.S. a couple of years ago on Instagram. And I was getting, people were tagging me on pictures of these, poor dogs and cats, sitting on concrete floors. And I reached out to a couple of the rescues, and some of these rescues have, 20,000 people following them. And I said, just, what's kind of going on? What's this network? What's this all about? And basically, they're, to give you an example, a picture will originate on Instagram, for example. So a person, normally a volunteer or someone who regularly visits a shelter, and I'm speaking specifically about the U.S. because this is how I became, this is how I became known to what's happening was basically what was going on in the U.S. So there's lots of high-kill shelters in the U.S. So really, someone who volunteers at a shelter or someone who regularly visits the shelter, such as a rescue group, they go in and they take a picture of a dog or of a video of a dog. And so what's really happening is that people are sharing, for various reasons, these animals are getting into the shelters, their owner surrenders, they were strays that have been, you know, hit by a car and someone's brought them in. And really, they're getting killed for space.
I understand exactly where you're coming from, because here, in what I do, I talk to these kind of people, these shelters, all the time, and it's just amazing to me, especially in the big cities, like Los Angeles, Chicago, and so forth. They're just overflowing with animals that they don't know what to do with, And as you said, they're putting them down to make space. And people that want to make a difference and that want to get the word out, to try to get these animals adopted or moved to a rescue that can take care of them until they're adopted. It's a challenge, and it's a challenge to get the news out, just to get the pictures or information about the animals that are available out to people so that they can see them and know that they're there. So that's really what you're trying to do, is fill that void and give shelters, rescues, and people looking for animals another tool to make this all happen, right?
That's right. So the shelters, really, as you say, they're bursting at the seams of strays, owner surrenders, you know, puppy mills and dog biting rings. That's so prevalent. It's actually quite frightening how common dog biting rings are. And really, they just really don't have the room. And bigger dogs are harder to place. Older dogs people don't want. And then there's breed-specific legislation, which has made really pit bulls really hard to place. And they're killed first.
Sure.
And, you know, this is obviously really distressing. And basically there's, in my experience, you know, I'm a pretty active on Instagram. So this is where I've kind of become accustomed to what's going on. So I've bucketed the animal lovers. You know, there's several key players, and I categorize them as networkers. And basically this group's made up of shelter and rescue group volunteers, rescue groups, fosters, and power networks. And I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Normally, like I was saying, the rescues and volunteers have a close working relationship depending on the shelter. So basically, if you're a shelter, you're in Sacramento and you're a rescue group that's based in that area, you likely have pulling rights to that shelter. So effectively, you can call that shelter. You probably have, the rescue group probably has a pretty good relationship with the shelter, because they want to be able to keep close ties. And if there's a dog at risk, the shelter will often call that rescue group to say, hey, we've got someone that's going to be, you know, they're on the youth list. They're really sick. And can you come basically pull them? Mm-hmm. So there's also people that are a mix of networkers, and those are people that know which rescues to tag, and I dub them power networkers, because they know rescues in specific locations, which is sometimes in the double digits, notify. And this is key, and as I was saying, it's key. As a local rescue, usually has a better chance of pulling a dog. And you know, sometimes if a rescue group is well intended and they're based in New York, they do not have pulling rights, say in California, for example, and that happens quite a bit.
Right.
I was really surprised and quite happy that there's networkers who are basically from all over the world. So I've been in contact with people from Australia, Malaysia, you know, name a country, and these people are networking these dogs in these shelters in the U.S.
Oh.
And there's a couple other.
I didn't realize that rescue work, pulling dogs from shelters here in the United States was such an international effort. That's, I mean, I've heard of some shelters importing dogs from Mexico or from other countries.
Yeah.
In some areas of the country here, I know that small dogs are in big demand and there's not an overabundance of them in some shelters, and there's other shelters in other parts of the country that have a big demand for these small dogs, but they don't have them. So that's one way from these high kill shelters that they're saving dogs is by moving them to other shelters that that have a demand for that kind of dog, I guess. And so you're helping to kind of network this all together. So is what your app doing is just like a database for people? Is that basically?
I'll tell you what my vision for the app will be is effectively, there's a lot of people, like I said, that are networking on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and all the efforts are well intended, but there's really a disconnect amongst the networks. And what I mean by that is that, you know, if I'm a pledger, for example, how I contribute to this whole scenario is that I'm a pledger. I mean, I know a few rescues that I can tag and specific, and it's geo specific. So, but usually these other power networkers that I mentioned, they're the ones that know who to tag. They've got the relationships already. So what I do is I pledge, and that was one thing that I came across that people were, you know, hashtag save Zeus $5. And that was one of the questions that I posed to this rescue group that I'd reached out to originally when I came across this whole thing that was going on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I said, so what does pledging mean? And how do I, you know, how does that all work? And basically, the rescues need, you know, everyone needs money to run. So all these rescues are not for profit. And basically what will happen is that if the people are tagging rescues to bring attention to a dog that's going to be killed in a few days, and I can only imagine how many people and how many times these rescues are being tagged by people. So then there's people like me that say, okay, save Zeus, because there's pull fees associated with these rescues to pull these dogs from the shelters. And usually, and I mean, I have no idea if this is the standard price, but usually it's $70 seems to be a standard price to pull a dog. So the rescue needs money to pull the dog from the shelter. And then obviously in order to do that, I pledge. So I'll say save Zeus, hashtag save Zeus, you know, and I'll pledge usually $5 or $10. So that incentivizes the rescue to pull the dog. Oh. And basically what people will do is that there'll be, you know, and then I'll tag people that I know that usually pledge, and there's a bunch of people that pledge, and that's how we contribute to saving the dog in that. So basically what's happening though, and to get back to my original point, is that, you know, this is, you know, these dogs, the same dog might be shared, is usually shared on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Obviously you're going to maximize your reach by posting on all three different channels.
Right.
And so sometimes, you know, if the person, you know, the person that's originated the post will say, we've got X amount of money pledges on Facebook, X on Twitter, and X on Instagram. So that's really hard to kind of manage. That's an administrative nightmare. Hmm. And the feeds are so, you know, there's so many and there's so much stuff going on. And sometimes I don't know if the dog's been rescued or not. So I can't honor my pledge. And pledges are on your honor. So if I get tagged by somebody who's on top of what's happening on all these channels, they'll say, you know, my handle's at Joycey5. They'll say at Joycey5, you know, Zeus has been rescued by, and then they name the name of the rescue, and then they provide the PayPal information, and it's up to me to honor my pledge. And I always honor my pledge because it's really important, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's part of the scenario. So really, sometimes pledges made on one channel are not transferred onto the other channels, and it's left up to manual intervention to track. And really, there's been many instances where certain social channels think that networkers are spammers. So, because, you know, some of these people are tagging, you know, sometimes hundreds of rescues and other advocates at the same time. So accounts are being flagged and subsequently suspended and sometimes even deleted. So this, of course, is very distressing to animal lovers, because if you can't share the animal, you know, obviously the animal has less of a chance to be rescued. Mm-hmm. So really, my mission for Pet Pardon is to be the go-to app and to network the dogs and cats, share to save a life from death row. And that's really what I'm trying to accomplish, is to bring one network all together and have one tool where you can track pledges, you know, and you can create lists of rescues and all kinds of things. So I've got some really, you know, my features for my app are going to address all these issues that's happening, really, you know, to be able to save as many as we can.
Where is it all coordinated from? I mean, if I'm living in Chicago, I'm a rescuer. I go to shelter, city shelters in Chicago and pull dogs and then put them in fosters until I get them adopted out. Do I get the app and kind of core and create this local network myself between shelters and rescues and volunteers and people that want to donate or people that want to that are looking to adopt? Who coordinates the whole effort? Is it just kind of a loose association of everyone who has the app, or is it kind of a center around one particular organization or entity? Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense. And basically, obviously, rescues will be key. I obviously will need the rescues to adopt the app to use. And also the shelters, but the rescues are my key because it won't just be to save them on the dogs that are on death row. Obviously, they will be pulling dogs, and they will eventually want to get those dogs adopted. Mm-hmm. And another key component is the foster. So I mean, you know, it's been the case, and it's quite sad, is that a rescue is ready to pull a dog, but they don't have a place to put the dog, so they don't have a foster. Mm. And sometimes the dog will go into a boarding facility, but really that's kind of putting them back in the same scenario. But then, of course, they're not, you know, putting them in a boarding facility, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to be euthanized.
So fosters
are key. So really, the app is, you know, it's already happening. You know, again, I came across this network on Instagram, and I was incredibly, surprised and just what was happening. And of course, you know, just with the euthanasia and the numbers behind why there's so many, and basically it's already happening. But I just wanted to try to, you know, my app is going to bring it all in one place, and it will allow people to, you know, people are networking dogs from shelters all over the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
effectively. And right now there's people from the UK. I'm from Canada, but I now live in the UK. And we have a nation of dog lovers and animal lovers here in the UK. So there's people from the UK that are networking these dogs in the US as well. And there's networks of people in the UK that are sharing, you know, dogs, you know, to be adopted in shelters and that kind of thing from the UK as well. So it's already happening. It's just a way to bring everybody together. It's you know, an administrative kind of nightmare at the moment.
Right.
And really, I just want to make it really easy for, you know, rescues to be able to, you know, people can honor their pledges, and that can all be tracked, and it will be geo-specific. And sometimes, you know, when I first started out, I didn't really know a rescue from New York couldn't pull a dog in California. And the rescues are nice about it. And sometimes they say, listen, I don't have pulling rights here. So, you know, I can only pull in California. So don't tag me in, you know, don't tag me on a dog in New York. There's really nothing they can do.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, how interesting. Well, there must be a story here as to what motivated you to do all this and how you came up with this idea. What's the why behind the story here?
The why really is, you know, I've always been an animal lover. We always had dogs and cats as a child. And, you know, and my love has grown, you know, even stronger as I've gotten older. And, you know, I guess, you know, it's not something that you just have as a kid, you know, I'm involved with some groups here, you know, with elephants and cheetahs and things like that. But I really wanted to try to make a difference on the ground, and you know, it's kind of frightening. I started to dig a little bit deeper, and you know, the American Humane Society reports, you know, 7.6 million dogs and cats enter shelters in the U.S., and nearly 3 to 4 million are euthanized each year, and you know, that means really every 13 seconds, healthy adoptable pets are put down, and you know, this isn't, again, you know, this isn't really just happening in the U.S. It's happening in Canada, the U.K. as well, and in the U.K. I recently saw an online petition stating that it can take just 7 days for a healthy, unclaimed dog to be put to sleep. And approximately 7,000 are put to sleep because of this reason here each year. Canada was kind of interesting. I couldn't really find any stats. And, you know, the most recent stats I could find were from 2015 from the Canadian Federation of Humane Societies. And it stated almost 2,000 healthy cats, dogs, and other species were put down that year in Canada. But I might, you know, I want to flag that, you know, the survey is voluntary, so the stats are incomplete at best. and it's likely that most really aren't reporting the kill rates. Who's going to, you know, put their hand up and say, oh, we killed, you know, 500 cats last year?
We do seem to be making progress, though, because the no-kill movement that started, I don't know, what, 10 years ago or something, has been making progress, and the stats overall, I think, show that euthanasia rates are going down, that spay neuter is being implemented more, but no matter how much progress we make, it just seems to be an endless revolving door, at least in some areas of the country. Is it as bad in the UK as it is here?
Not that I can find. And, you know, you raise a good point about spay and neutering. So obviously, you know, the shelters are overcrowded because we have backyard breeders. You know, if you go on Craigslist, people are giving away free puppies all the time, puppies and cats. And, you know, it's quite sad because obviously, you know, they can only house so many. And I mean, there's reports of a couple of shelters, you know, in Miami and California, for example, that have, you know, 700-800 mainly dogs at any one time. So, you know, and I've seen pictures of people, you know, lining up, you know, waiting for the shelter to open to surrender their pets. It's just, you know, and people, sadly, when, you know, a lot of reasons cited for giving up their pets is, you know, the landlord issues or they're moving. It's, you know, and a lot of people surrender their older pets. And quite frankly, a lot of people just, you know, love animals but just can't afford when, you know, if your dog gets, you know, breaks out of the backyard and gets hit by a car. Unfortunately, you know, they might not have the means to bring the animal to the vet. And it's just, you know, there's so many reasons for the overcrowding. So really the app for me is the first thing that I can see that I can do personally to try to help bring awareness to what's going on, because that's one of the key things is that I don't think people really realize that if all well-intended and they really can't keep their pet that they surrender it to a shelter, I don't think people realize that, you know, it may not make it out. You know, people think, oh, I'm going to surrender my dog, you know, Fido. And you know, it might get put on the euthanasia list because it may be older or just, you know, it's sad. And it's just really to bring awareness. And that's kind of the first phase. And then the long-term goal really is to, you know, I definitely do not want to be competing with the rescues for funds, but my ultimate goal is to work on the ground with specific rescues and partner with them to help them do spay and neuter programs. So, you know, if there's a rescue, there's a lots of rescues that are doing a lot of great things, and, you know, they all need money to do that. And we always use the term, it takes a village. And really, yeah, that's my retirement plan is to really just get this going and raise money and work on the ground with rescues that just may not have the means to, you know, go and buy a $20,000 or $30,000, you know, truck to do a spay or neuter program, because that kind of stuff is happening, but it all takes money. So,
sure. Well, yeah, I mean, you say it takes a village, and but it also sometimes just takes one person to kind of ignite an issue and bring a village together, and I imagine that's what you're looking to do. And so are you actively looking for collaborators to help you develop the app or to give you more ideas and that sort of thing? How can people reach out to you to get involved in your project?
So if people go to my website, it's pet-pardon.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, and it's @pet_pardon. On Facebook, it's @petpardonapp, all one word. And Instagram, it's petpardon.
You got it all covered.
I've got it all covered. And, you know, this is sort of my sidebar. I work full time, and it's such a project that I'm quite passionate about, and I definitely, you know, I've been reaching out to people, and once I have my minimal viable product in beta of the app, I will be getting people, you know, to test it. And I have been reaching out. The animal community is amazing, and I have been reaching out to people that I've never met before. That's the power of social media.
Are you a programmer?
I'm not a programmer. No, I work for a startup. But
well, how do you know how to create an app? I mean, how to physically, you know, engineer it.
A lot of research and being really, I wouldn't say I'm a power user of Instagram, but I mean, I've come to know the ins and outs, and I actually am quite entrenched with the community, specifically on Instagram. And, you know, I just, you know, I feel the pain. I know how that the whole community works. You know, I know who the power networkers are. I know a lot of the rescues. And, you know, I'm a pledger, so I've established a good presence in that community and have built up some trust, with people. And it's quite incredible, the passion that I can feel and in speaking with people, you know, on email about it.
And you said that you're, going into crowdfunding in March?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. So what will be your goal, or is it too early for you to even know at this point, but what your target would be in the fundraising? How much would you need?
I need probably to get me started at least 25,000, that's pounds. So that's, you know, almost 40,000 US. But you know, any amount that I can raise to just get me started is going to be helpful. But obviously, I'm self-funded at the moment, so I'm paying out of my own pocket. That's how passionate I am. So, but I, you know, that's to get the iOS and the Android versions, you know, in a minimal viable product. And what I mean by a minimal viable product is obviously, you know, it's quite remarkable as you sort of, you know, get into the features that you want, and then you get the developers that you speak to, and they say, well, that's going to take, you know, 25 hours to do, and you think, okay, how much is that going to cost me? I've learned a lot. I'm not a developer, as you asked, but I know the features that I want to solve, the reason why I want to do this, and that will be the first, I guess, iteration of the app. With the long-term goal is just to keep moving on and getting stuff to so that people can continue to share. And basically, I just need that network effect where I can get as many people as I can using the app. And obviously, there's power in numbers. So
sure. Well, it sounds like quite a ambitious endeavor that will really make a difference, I think. And anything that adds a tool to the arsenal to help us And the euthanasia slaughter that we see in our shelters across the country, I think, is a great thing. And I hope you'll keep in touch and let us know how it's progressing. Maybe we can talk to you again once your crowdfunding starts.
I'd love that. That would be really great. And in the meantime, I probably have some you know, some more information to share at the time, but this is, you know, this is just the beginning, and I'm quite excited to be able to make a difference.
And if anyone out there has experience in developing a niche app like this and would like to collaborate with you, they can just reach out and you'll be happy to talk to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that's great. Well, thanks so much. We really appreciate you coming on. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thanks, Robert. Thank you.